We'll bring you the April 8, 2011 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, with this rain report. Every year, the Dayton Hamvention names one ham operator to be its Amateur of the Year. Some of you may recall that Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, was honored as the 2002 recipient. What's so unusual about this year is that the award has been bestowed upon a Dayton, Ohio resident for the first time in 30 years, and a blind resident at that. She's Shirley Roberts, an 8LX. Shirley has served as a volunteer for the Hamvention for some 20 years. In a conversation with Hap Holly, KC9RP, Shirley disclosed that she got into ham radio originally in 1970 at age 18, but she never made a single contact before her first novice ticket expired.
I was at a rehabilitation center for the blind in Little Rock, Arkansas. One of the administrators there talked me into getting a ham radio license. I had learned the code previously because when I was about 12 or 13, the school I went to offered some amateur radio classes. I learned code at that point, but didn't manage to stay awake for the theory. I never got my license at that point, but I remembered the code. So I got my license, but I really did not get on the air with it. I was away from home.
You were 18 at the time.
I lived in Ohio, but I was temporarily in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so when I came home, I really didn't have much of an opportunity to get equipment or get on the air or anything of that nature. And shortly after that, I went away to college, although away wasn't very far away. It was in the local community, actually, here in the area where I lived. I did stay on campus, and I really didn't have the opportunity to do anything with the license. So I let it expire. A number of years later, I got to know a couple of people here in Dayton, Ohio, where I live, who were active in the amateur radio community. This was probably in the 80s, I would say somewhere in the beginning to middle 80s. At that point, I would have been in my 30s. I had my first license in 1970 and then got my second license in 1986. But about 3 or 4 years before that, I got to know some people who were involved in amateur radio a little bit in the community, and one of them worked with my husband. There were a couple other people that we got to know that somehow were a little bit involved with Hamvention at the time, and before I got relicensed, I got involved in a small way with volunteering for Hamvention. I think we even went to a couple of Hamventions at that point, but there was a person in the area who answered the phones for Hamvention. The phone line was actually in her home. It's funny because I've sort of done full circle, because at that time, she had the Hamvention line in her phone. When she would go away or something like that, she wanted someone to forward Hamvention calls to. So I started helping with Hamvention calls every once in a while. Now it turns out I'm in charge of the Hamvention information line, so kind of interesting how that's all gone around. But in the interim, as we got involved with some of those activities, a couple of people found out that I had a license at one point. As I said, one of those was an individual who worked with my husband. His wife was going to get her license. She's also visually impaired, so he kind of talked me into studying for mine again, since he found out that I had a license. So that's what I did. I went ahead and studied for my license and got my novice again in 1986 and gradually upgraded until I ended up with my extra class license. And about 4 years after I got my license, I talked my husband into getting his license. That worked out really nicely for both of us. That way we were able to communicate, you know, back and forth. He was still working at the time. We've both gotten quite involved in the amateur radio community since that point.
Some blind people will actually know your husband.
He is Lynn Roberts, N8LXK. He has helped in some instances with some material. For instance, there was a manual for a handheld radio, the Kenwood THF6A. He kind of went through that manual and made it more accessible format so that visually impaired people were able to use it. He also did the same thing with a couple manuals for cell phones that some blind people were using. So he's gotten a little bit known in the blind community, particularly the blind hams community, for being involved in some things of that nature and assisting people with using equipment and making the manuals more accessible.
Where can you find his materials today?
There's a website called ICanWorkThisThing.com. I know some of the manuals have been put on that. I think the Kenwood THF6A manual might still be there, but it's been a while since we've looked at it. I think at one point in time, a couple things were even on the Handy Hams website, but it's been some time since we've really looked to see what material is still there.
Getting back to you now, you got into amateur radio originally in 1970, and then again in 1986, this time to stay, and eventually got your expert call. What was your first novice call sign?
WN8GMB, Whiskey November 8, Golf Mike Bravo.
When you got your second novice license in 1986 and actually got on the air this time, what was your first rig?
My first one was, I believe the model number on it was an FT-109 made by Yaesu. It was a handheld. It was a 220 handheld. They made a 220, which I think was the 109, and the 2 meter, which I believe was the 209. Now you're taking me back a long way, and I can't promise you that I'm remembering the model numbers exactly correctly, but I had both of them. And I started out with the 220 because at the time that I got my license in 86, they had given novices 220 privileges. We had numerous 220 repeaters here in the Dayton area. We had a couple of good future thinkers who wanted novices to be able to communicate with everyone else, so they linked the 220 repeaters in a couple instances to 2 meter repeaters. There was one organization that I got very involved in because of that at the time. My husband and I are still quite involved with that group, although it changed names and changed scope a little bit, but that certainly gave me a good opportunity to get started and be able to communicate with numerous people at the time.
You're listening to a conversation between Shirley Roberts, N8LX, the 2011 recipient of the Amateur of the Year Obelisk, and Rance Hapholly, KC9RP. We'll continue this interview with Shirley in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available as a weekly podcast and download from therainreport.com.
Now, speaking of 2 meters and 220, I know for some years, during the Hamvention weekend, you had some sort of a net at midnight on Friday night, didn't you?
Saturday night, actually.
Is that still going?
Yes, it is. We used to have it every Saturday night. For the last several years now, we've cut that down some, and we're basically having it twice a month now. We almost always have it on Hamvention weekend, it turns out, because we usually have it the first Saturday and the third Saturday, and knowing the group as I do, probably if Hamvention was to be on a different Saturday night, we would probably have the net anyway just to be able to have it on Hamvention weekend. It's called the Saturday Night Roundtable Net. For anyone who's coming in for Hamvention, we have that on the 14511 repeater in the Dayton area, which is linked to 220 on 22416. It's basically what it says it is. We come up with different topics of discussion people can talk about. We try to leave it open pretty much as long as it's an appropriate topic for ham radio. We ask people for topics that they might be interested in discussing, and then we open it up to people who are on the net. And it's really great because we always get some of the Hamvention visitors who take part in the net and usually have a pretty good turnout, so we look forward to that every year during Hamvention.
So we're talking about this year, Saturday, May 21st at midnight, for that Saturday night roundtable on formerly the Kettering Medical Center repeater, a 14511, and on their 220 repeater on 22416. Linked together, is there a PL, or is that turned off on Hamvention weekend?
Well, we do have a PL, which is 67 hertz, and generally we just PL a couple of the remote receivers, particularly if we have someone getting into them for another repeater off in the distance. We generally try to keep the main site with the PL off if we can.
And that PL of 67 used to be a real help when crossing the Ohio line from Indiana on 70. That generally, if you had that PL, you could get in right around that point where you wouldn't necessarily without that PL.
That is correct.
Any idea why you were chosen to be the 2011 Amateur of the Year?
To be honest, I'm not real sure. I'm assuming it's because some of the activities that I've been involved in, both for Hamvention and the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, which, for those who do not know, is the organization that sponsors Hamvention. I've been in charge of the information line for the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, or as we call it here, DARA for short, for close to 20 years. I've been in charge of the Dayton Hamvention phone line for about 3.5 years, but I've been on numerous Hamvention committees through the years. I've also assisted with numerous emergency communication events. One of them, several other people and I received an ARRL certificate, which was actually something that I initiated in terms of helping a person who was in an emergency situation. This individual was going down the highway and was becoming very incoherent due to a tooth infection. I initiated getting assistance for this person and getting some hams together to find the individual. They took the person to a hospital and they were able to treat him for an infection and then he was released. I've been involved in some of the local clubs in the area.
Shirley, amateur radio is one of those hobbies that seems to really have, if you'll pardon the trite phrase, a level playing field for the blind. Why do you think that is?
I would say that the reason would be that because most of what's done in amateur radio does not take vision. There are few exceptions of that, particularly using D-Star radio. You've almost got to have some sight to really be able to do some of the things with that. But most of the things out there, whether you're working with emergency net, whether you're doing a weather net, whether you're just communicating with friends, whether you go out to help with a public service event that's happening, whether you're on HF, 2 meters, 440, just about whatever operation you want to take part in. As a blind person, most of it is out there and available and accessible in some format. You know, there may be some things that you have to do somewhat differently, and of course, not all the radios are fully accessible, but there's always something out there that you can use and make available for yourself in some form. Even the computer technology, so much of that now that's being used in accordance with amateur radio is available for blind people with screen readers. And if you want a radio that has speech, whether it's an HF radio, again, or whether it's a UHF, VHF radio, Kenwood makes numerous radios that have speech chip capability. There's a lot out there that can be done. You've got the capability of working hand in hand with everyone else and being pretty much on an even keel, even if you have no vision at all.
Shirley Roberts, N8LX, the 2011 recipient of the Amateur of the Year Award, presented each winter by the Dayton Hamvention. We'll learn more about Shirley and her story next time. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2011. Rain, all rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with the Rain Report, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you all a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.